Next, we're continuing our regular Friday series called Hidden Kitchens, and today we'll take a journey into the mysterious and controversial world of raw milk. Today's story is called Milk Cow Blues, and it's produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson.
My name is Frederick Kaufman, author of the upcoming book, A Short History of the American Stomach. I infiltrated a raw milk coven in New York City. It was a cold evening in Hell's Kitchen in a basement of a large apartment house. The Mennonite farmers had already arrived with their big cold packs full of their raw milk. The Mennonite farmer, the man who's delivering the goods, cannot drive them himself across state lines. When I got there, they were actually discussing the payoff to the driver.
My name is Debbie Apple. I am a farmer and farmer's wife. We live in McCordsville, Indiana. We are farming my husband's family farm. It kind of happened to us rather than us really planning. We started with the sheep and chickens to cattle, bought a milk cow for ourselves, and found that there was a demand for milk that was unpasteurized.
Come in, Tommy.
Well, I woke up this morning.
Yes, yes.
And I looked outdoors.
Outside, you mean?
I could tell my milk cow, I could tell by the way she looked.
Tell me more.
If you see my milk cow.
It didn't take very long before people started realizing that we had a dairy cow. I remember being at a meeting one night, and one lady said, "Do you have a dairy cow?" And everybody just started talking at once, just saying, you know, "Can we get milk from you? Can we get milk?" And they had all read a book called What the Bible Has to Say About Healthy Living and the Health Benefits of Raw Milk. The next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, three of those women were here. They had their glass jars. We didn't know at the time that it was illegal for us to give away raw milk.
We have dairy cattle, beef cattle, sheep, chickens. My name is Mark Apple. This is our milking herd. It's 12 milk cows.
Ah.
A breed called Dutch Belted, imported in the 1800s by P.T. Barnum. We just milk once a day. It's important for them to relax. That's the purpose in having classical music playing, making sure that they're very relaxed.
We checked the laws. We could not trade it, sell it, deliver it. But there was a provision that if it's your own cow, you could drink the milk. And so we decided if these people wanted milk, they would have to buy the cow.
We have two cow shares, and I come every week to get my 2 gallons of milk, and I've got some eggs also.
We set up the Indiana Cow Share Associations. We charge $50 for a share.
I'm buying some cheese, a couple pairs of knitting needles.
We have a store.
And
it's a trailer.
4 ribeye steaks.
They come to get their milk. They might want to grab some eggs or a piece of meat.
My name is Jo Apple. I am Mark Apple's mother. It's a Yamaha Clavinova, the piano. I've lived on this farm close to 50 years. It was originally a dairy farm. Lots of headaches with Holstein cows. I don't know, it just became too much. It wasn't financially a good idea anymore, so we gave it up. Mark and Debbie had talked to my husband. They sort of had a vision for the farm. And when you've been a conventional farmer for years and years, there's just a lot of mindset.
We were trying to share all this with my father. By saying we want to do something different, it's almost like it's saying that they were not doing it right. It was, a tough year financially. I think it was tax time. And I think the combination said, let's call Mark and Debbie, so right before he passed.
Well, I woke up this morning, looked out my door. I could tell my milk cow.
I first became aware of the Apple family farm when it was published in a local news article that indicated that part of their product was to offer raw milk. I'm Dr. Brett Marsh, Indiana State Veterinarian. The first call I received on this was actually from a dairy producer that says, well, I didn't think we could do this in Indiana. There are some potentially harmful pathogens in these raw milk products, and that's the compelling reason for the pasteurization laws in states.
Local farmers put pressure on the Board of Animal Health to come and shut us down. And when we had 40 families that were getting milk from us, we were served with a cease and desist order. It was such a scary thing.
You know, we're not selling drugs. This isn't cocaine, crack, marijuana. This is milk.
We invited some friends over. By about 2 o'clock in the morning, we decided that we would keep the cows and fight the cease and desist order. We didn't try to change their minds to think that raw milk is the healthiest thing that God ever gave us, but just the fact that these people had a right to choose. In the end, they allowed us to continue. Maybe a year and a half after our cease and desist order, we had a knock at the door. The gentleman, I'd never seen him before, I didn't know who he was. The very first thing that came out of his mouth was, "You don't have to talk to me if you don't want to. I will totally understand." He had been the one to turn us in. He said he couldn't make it farming anymore. And as a last resort, came to us. And he explained how he felt when he saw us in the paper. It just made him furious. Here I was selling milk for probably 3 times more than what he was getting for his milk. We sat out on the porch and we talked for probably 2 hours. He talked about his son, that his son was bagging groceries, but that his heart was to farm. I took him on a tour of the farm. It was so amazing to have this man who turned us into the Board of Animal Health. And here I was able to ask him questions about how to do things in the milk house. It almost made me feel like I had Mark's dad here. And he wanted to know if people would be interested in doing the same thing for pasteurized milk. He wanted to sell directly to the public. He needed to make a change. It's a story that is happening all over the country. All the farmers that are throwing in the towel, saying, okay, I can't afford a $60,000 combine. I have to do something else. I'll get some cattle and see if I can just sell them to my neighbors. And that's kind of how it starts.
Hidden Kitchens is produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, with Jay Allison. And oh, there's much more about cow sharing on our website, npr.org. Next week, cook for someone when you hear the beep.